just one of the reasons. But yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. And thank you, our dear audience, for listening to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We criticize the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. Thank you very much for listening to us.
I have denied them the blessing of caring. You were right. Amidst all the suffering, I've learned that heaven is real. You prayed? I'm here.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Quran Quest, the program that explores the verses of the Quran for the wisdoms it has. And to join us, to help us with that, we have our dear and beloved brother Habib. Brother Habib, salamun alaikum warahmatullah. First of all, thank you very much for giving us your time, sharing your valuable time with us. And secondly, condolences to you and to our audience on the period of the martyrdom of Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greaten your reward and the reward of our dear listeners. We hope that we can provide some hopeful, some fruitful words of wisdom, inshallah.
Thank you very much. So, Brother Habib, we are on chapter 83 of the Quran. We're talking about people who deceptively reject the rights that they safeguard for themselves, and how these people will be at the lowest level of hell, sijil. Now we're going to be talking about the question that we want to answer today is, why do people reject the Day of Judgment, although they can see death all around them, although it makes sense for them to live eternally? Why do they reject that? Now let's listen to verses 10 onwards from chapter 83, and we'll be back to discuss that issue with Brother Habib.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
Woe unto the repudiators on that day.
الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ.
Those who deny the Day of Judgment.
وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ.
Which none denieth save each criminal transgressor.
إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
when thou readest unto him our revelation, saith, mere fables of the men of old.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 10 onwards from chapter 83 of the Quran. And we're wondering today why people reject the reality of the Day of Judgment, even though they're seeing signs all around themselves. The first verse goes, Woe that day to the deniers, who deny the Day of Judgment, which no one denies except the sinful transgressor.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. The verse is very clear here, and it is stating that the reason why people deny it is because their desires give them illusions. Their desires play tricks on their intellect and their rationality. And this is very common. It's studied in logic as well, so it's not something new. Aristotle stated and before him, of course, every intellectual person, the prophets as well. It really goes back to this, that the human intellect has the capability of reaching reality. But the thing is, give me your assurance that your brain, your intellect will not fall into mistakes. That's the thing. They claim that logic is what really fixes, studying logic, the Greek logic, right, from the philosophy part. It's something that really protects your mind. It's the insurance for your mind. But no. When we go back to reality, we still see people who study it and still fall into it. Why? Because they fall into these desires. And this has been stated by Allama Tabatabai in various verses, in different parts of his tafsir and interpretation al-Mizan.
I will follow up on that after the break. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. So we're asking, why do people reject the Day of Judgment? Why do they reject death and the revival after death? First thing that you said is that because sometimes our logic is clouded by our desires, the things that we want in this world.
And then when you desire something, you fall into sin. There's a couple of wisdom words from Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahu salamu alayhi, where he states that in these various words that the human being, whenever he desires something, whenever he wants something, whenever he wants to cling on to something, he falls into sin. It's a door for him of, it's a door for wrath, for the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because, for example, I desire to eat this fruit. This fruit is not available unless I steal it. Follow my desires, I steal it. Various examples. One of the most examples is, for example, for those who are studying with knowledge, I want to be the smartest person. So what do? I start to envy my peers and try to bring them down. So when I bring them down, I'm high. I want to be high. I want to, that desire of lust, of power, of being known, of being the smartest. And it doesn't matter if you're truly smart or not. It just matters that the light is shed upon you. You're the spotlight kid. You're the spotlight man. You're the spotlight woman that everyone looks at. You're the fame. You're the star. You're the universe. And that really just drives you to do and fall into sins. Now, the same thing with these people. The reason that they fall into sin is because they have these desires. Thus, when they fall into these desires, to find a way to, how do I put it, tabrir. So they give out false excuses
to pretty much so they deny the Day of Judgment as a false excuse for their actions. And even more, they go to a point where they start to harass the people who believe in it. And we kind of pointed that out in previous chapters a couple of years back. And over here, it's emphasizing on this fact. It's emphasizing that the people who deny the Day of Judgment have a reason why they deny it. Because a rational person, when he sees, for example, he knows this is poison. This cup that I'm holding for the viewers who are not, for the listeners who can't view us. So a rational person will not drink it. But a person who drinks it will claim that, for example, it tastes good. For example, it feels good. For example, that I didn't know. For example, that the person that told you it's poison is lying. So the same thing with these people. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and states that when our signs are recited to him, and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is very important, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awaken the mind. It removes that dust on your mind and intellect and reminds you of your promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi alam al-dhar, in the world of dhar, pre-creation in our body form, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to follow him, to obey him, to command him, told us we accept it. And then what happens when the prophets come and remind you and tell you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his prophets, what do they say? قال أساطير الأولين, myths of the ancients. These are just stories. These are just for your imaginations. And how much do we have such people nowadays? See, تشابهت قلوبهم, their hearts are alike, their intellect are alike, their rationality are alike. See, they're the same. They have this desire. They have this sin that they're running after. It's their goal. Thus, they will deny anything else that stops them from their goal.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break now. But after the break, we will continue with another question regarding how to control our desires so they don't make us sin. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on chapter 83 of the Quran. We are studying verse 13, why people deny the Day of Judgment even though they know it's true. So, a golden sentence that you said in the previous section was that because their logic is impeded by their desires. And you mentioned the hadith where desires lead to sin. But it's human beings, it's natural for us to have desires. How can we ensure that our desires don't lead us to sin?
Control is everything. And the best way to gain control is to understand what you're controlling. To understand your desires. Understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this love, for example, of lust, this need for food, the need for money. Why do you need money? That's where you start off. Why do you need money? Do you need money so you could just become rich? Or do you need money, for example, so you could aid your family, so you could buy your food, so you could, for example, have a life? For example, your children won't need anyone. You won't need anyone. You only need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one thing. For another example is that, why do you have to be famous? For those who desire fame, who desire fortune, why do I have to be famous? What's up with being famous? So all the people could look at me? Understand that these also come with bad things, bad attributes as well. Prophet ﷺ states, "Al-musharu ilayhi bil-banan mubtala." The person who is well known or renowned, the person who is pointed out by the finger, which is pretty much phrasing to the fact that he's well known, is a person living in adversities. This really goes back to the paparazzi following you everywhere you go. People knowing your every move. People looking at you, studying you. People just wanting to envy you.
So what you're saying is that, in another word, is that we have to control our goals. How can we determine what goals to follow?
That's the thing here. That's the beauty of the Quran. It's always calling you to come back to your conscience. To come back to these three main questions. To come back to the main questions of your life. Who brought me here? Why am I here? And where am I going? These questions, all of them, it's available in every nature of a human being. You know, just sit down. Whenever you accomplish a goal, you finish your day, you just sit down. You just think to yourself, why am I here? What am I doing? All right, I won this championship. What happened? My team won, for example. What happened? I bought a house. I'm sitting down in the house. Me and the person who is renting a house have a roof on our head. What's wrong? What's up? What's new? Why am I here? That really just goes back to understanding the purpose of life.
One method is to use the then what method. Like, okay, I want to be famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Then what?
Then what?
People will know me. Then what? I'll be rich.
Exactly.
Then what? I'll die and leave it all behind. Then what? Then I'm going to go to the hereafter empty-handed.
Exactly.
In the other world, in another way, you can say that, okay, I'm going to try to help people. Then what? I will receive thawab. I will receive rewards. Then what? I will die and I will visit my God proud and honored.
So that's the thing, like how the Prophet ﷺ stated, "Afkuru hadim al-ladhat." Remember the thing that destroys your desires. They asked him, "What is the destroyer of desires?" He told them, "Death," because everyone knows it's in our nature. Everyone knows that one day we're gonna vanish. One day, the angels of death are gonna come upon us, and we're not ready for that. I mean, personally, I'm not ready for that. Every night, think about that. One day you're gonna die, Hussein. One day I'm gonna die.
And we don't remember death to be sorry. We remember death to prepare for it, to have a good death. Thank you very much, Brother Habib, for all your time. Thanks to our audience for being with us. If you missed this program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. You can download this episode and all our previous episodes. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of thinking. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن هذا القرآن
news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. Five horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Aboro Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes for members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, 5 elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic. Plus, they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yin Liang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together and a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different than the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and the second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
عزیزان من، برادران، خواهران، خطرناکترین نوع خرافات
The most harmful and dangerous type of superstition is the religious one. This means that a religion, namely Islam or Christianity, is mixed with the beliefs or thoughts which have no roots in divinity and are man-made. Sometimes the belief system of a religion is threatened by superstitions. We can find many examples in the sermons or ceremonies that are held for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. In other words, sometimes the personal opinions and ideas of people interfered in the religious system and make it weak or baseless.
خدا رحمت کنه مرحوم آیت الله عظمای مرعشی اعلی الله مقامه الشریف تو این کتاب
The late Ayatollah Mar'ashi Najafi was among the ulama who criticized superstitious beliefs very much. In his opinion, one of the most superstitious sects in Islam is Sufism. As he clearly stated in his book Ihqaq al-Haqq, I believe Sufism is the biggest calamity in the world of Islam. The main reason to criticize such movements is the personal bias and preference on which their belief system is based. In fact, the unlawful rituals and behaviors can be seen vividly in some of the sects of Sufism. True Islam is based on the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, where we discuss various topics and then bring you back to reality. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us my main man, Brother Ja'far. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. We go way back. And we have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zainab.
Alaikum assalam.
Where are you from?
I'm from Indian Administrative Kashmir.
So, artificial intelligence. What do you think about it? What are your initial thoughts? Is artificial intelligence a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Science fiction movies have become almost a reality now. If you noticed, I don't know if you saw it, but the Japanese have actually made a robot, a cyborg, which it looks real. It looks like a real human being. Its facial expressions are almost lifelike. If you see it, it's really freaky. What are your thoughts on that? Is this going to help humanity?
You could use something like that in situations where it's tougher for humans to, I guess, work or help. Say, suppose like an oil rig. You could have these humanoid cyborgs work over there, get the job done. And suppose if something happens, well, the cyborg gets destroyed, right? A human's life is in that cost. Or suppose even now, like with the whole condition of COVID and people being like sanctioned off into their own little sections in the hospital, you could have a cyborg go in and check all the necessary, suppose, temperatures and testings, and they won't contract the disease because, again, they're not human, right? Because mm-hmm. they're metal on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? So in those cases, I think there's a positive like leap towards going towards the science fiction like reality.
Yeah.
But then again, like every science fiction movie shows that they turn on us at the end.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of hardwired into our psyche from a young age that, you know, robots are eventually going to turn against humanity. Sister Zainab, what are your initial thoughts on this?
I agree with Brother Jaffer that everything has a positive side and a dark side, and all these movies, when we see them using AI systems, be that in robotic form or any other form, we see both the positive side, how much they help humanity and how much they serve humanity. At the end of the day, if the program gets uncontrolled, how this system dominates human beings, and that's where it gets dangerous. I, as a human being, really don't like an artificial intelligence to be dominating us. So yes, dominating human beings is a bad part of it, but yes, when it serves you, if you, like the brother said, if you have a robotic nurse and that serves so many people in a very less amount of time, it will save time. But at the same time, if something gets, any of the programs gets, you know, rearranged, or if there happens something in the programming and it gets out of control, then it becomes mess for a human being.
The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he's talked about artificial intelligence, and he said that, you know, we need to work on artificial intelligence. And he's actually, you know, pushed and urged the people to actually invest time, energy, and effort into increasing our awareness and ability to create our own artificial intelligence. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
So herein lies an issue with the artificial intelligence, the AI, which exists in today's world, and that is that it's not necessarily in the hands of responsible people.
Yeah.
In fact, the people like Boston Dynamics, I don't know if you've seen that robot dog.
Mm.
You know, that was a long, long time ago. A robot dog, and they have like a robot horse as well. It's much bigger. It can run. It can open doors. They actually had one of these on the streets trying to enforce COVID restrictions and stuff. Already, yeah, it's happening, right? Welcome to the future. But the point is, as the sister pointed out, if there's even a slight glitch in these systems, it's going to completely harm humanity. It's not going to have that good effect.
It's even more difficult in this time because everything is becoming digitalized. You have more hackers. You have different ways of getting into a system now, right? So if you rely solely on this and you make, suppose, obviously it's going to be a program for these like cyborgs and humanoids, but again, if someone can crack that system, then it's done.
It's
right?
Going to be disastrous.
Of course.
Has it not already been disastrous?
As you pointed out yourself, it's not been in the responsible hands, I guess. And you know, we as human beings, we have so many selfish people. We have so many people who are after power, who are after domination, because they need power. The basic thing is they need power. So in order to get to that power, they, you know, misuse out of this artificial intelligence systems. And, you know, Facebook CEO himself, recently I was going through an article, he himself admits the fact that artificial intelligence in future is not going to be very good for the human beings, because it's going to have, this already has, like we have, you know, we have our phones, smartphones right now, but we are not at the same time safe. It has so much of information, whatever we do, wherever we sleep, whatever we do, like from waking up to sleeping, it has everything recorded, whether it's on, whether it's off. So like even Elon Musk used that, why he uses that, you know, a kind of chip on his camera, laptop camera, but be it on or off, why he's doing that. So they know, these are the, you know, some masters of the tech world. They know how much harmful it can be if it's not in the right hands. In right hands is very, very important. Even if leader of Islamic Revolution is suggesting that to create more AI system tech, you know, promote it, he trusts his nation. He knows the nation is quite responsible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if the same tech gets into the irresponsible hands...
And it is in the irresponsible hands,
It is already in
the... And they've been collecting data on the way humans think and the way that we as individuals
think. And now, like, you know, whatever the application you right now you download in your phone, it asks you, accept.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, do I have access to your gallery, to
and
your
And I
audience?
Never read it. Terms and conditions, like I never read that stuff. I
so
just
many
accept.
People of us, we don't read it, and we don't have any choice. We are left with no choice. It's at the same time asking you and at the same time leaving you with no choice. If you do not accept those conditions,
you can't
the app is not going to work.
Yeah. No, but see, even look at, suppose like an example like YouTube, right? You could be talking about a certain topic, and then an hour later, you could be scrolling through YouTube, and that same topic would come out through someone
Man,
else.
They have right? completely...
They're listening to everything. It's not that, you know, you're on your own. You're not on your own anymore.
I mean, I used to think they just do this for advertisement purposes. You know, they're just trying to see what kind of product is this person interested in. Like, I don't get it, though. If that was the case, why would they keep offering me, like, really weird things? Like, I don't know, things that have nothing to do with me. A car insurance. I don't have a car, you know. But it's worse than that. The algorithms of Google, generally, you know, of Facebook, definitely, YouTube, definitely, all of these main key players.
Social media.
But Google itself, like, if you get two different people to search for something, they'll get different results according to themselves. This is not fair, because it means that everybody
they
is
are
being
into your personal
divided.
Life.
Yeah.
Means
well,
they
yeah,
are
that's
into
one
your
of
personal
the,
life. They know what you like or dislike.
Yeah, it's in the fine print for most of these services. The second you start them, they're already scanning you from that moment, right? The second you start something, they pinpoint like what things you enjoy, what things you would like to see, and they give you responses depending on that.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously no two humans are alike, hence two searches will never be alike.
And according to me, this is one of the worst human right abuses.
It is, absolutely. Because they're hiding the truth a lot of the time. They are telling you what the information is. You type in definitions of names, Google will give you the answer. We're speaking about, is artificial intelligence a bad thing? Is it a good thing?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Before your time, Sayyid Jafar, right, there was a thing called MSN Messenger. Do you remember MSN Messenger?
That was in my time.
Before
it's
Facebook
from
your
generation.
And all this. Don't even try it, okay? You are Generation Z.
Oh, it was the little happy face at the end.
Yeah. Okay, well, do you remember ever talking to, like, a robot? You never remember that? So there was this craze going around where you could actually talk to an AI. And, you know, you'd send them a message and they'd give you a reply. And all the kids were doing it. It was so much fun. It was like, wow, it's not a real person and you're talking to it. And whatever you say, they give an appropriate response. Like, if you say, are you real?
Oh, it's like
say,
the little paperclip guy for Microsoft Word back in the day.
You're just trying to prove that you're in my generation, okay?
How old are you?
The guy's like in his...
I'm the bridge between these two. Oh, I know both sides now.
All right. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true to an extent. But do you remember anything like this? The fake human beings out there who you can talk to. And Facebook actually, there was a whole story about how they created lots of fake personalities that don't actually exist.
I don't remember about that, but I remember talking to some... AI system while I wanted to search about my brother-in-law. He's suffering from cancer. And I wanted to search about what to do, what foods he should eat, what foods he should avoid and all. And I was talking to some AI system and yes, it was responding.
And then we have, what's it called? The Amazon lady thing. That little machine.
Uh-huh, Alexa.
Alexa. Hi, Alexa. And then it goes, hello. I don't have one. And there's other versions as well. But you ask it anything and it will give you a response. It's like having a friend in your house. Now, they are acclimatizing people to have such things in their houses. You guys seen a movie called iRobot?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it's just basically another sci-fi flick where they're basically showing that everybody buys these robots and keeps them in their houses, and they're really useful. They help you in case your house is on fire, or if you need to go to hospital, or if you need some medicine. They're like slaves that you can
adding
just
headache to parents.
Yeah, so they called it iRobot. You know, like the new iPhone. We all have smartphones. Now you get iRobots, which are basically like your own personal slaves. That sounds really cool. I really do want that. Is that bad?
That's really bad.
I would still want it.
Look, you would want it to help you get more things done. But at the end of the day, what ends up happening is no one gets anything done. And you're so reliant on that supposed machine or intelligence to do it for you, you don't know how to do it yourself. Look at kids nowadays. They can't get from one place to another. They need Google Maps. When you put a child right now in front of a group of people, they don't know how to talk to them because they're so accustomed to talking through an interface, talking through some intelligence. They're at a loss of words when you bring them out into a social environment, right? Something that's not behind a phone screen or a computer screen.
We lose being a life of a human being. We'll be more into the intelligence world if we, get those, if we have those. The worst part is that they are not emotional at all. So they don't understand your emotions. And if they get emotional, that will be worst again. I saw one of the movies. It was rather Indian movie. Right. I was showed that at the end of the day, he puts an emotion into this robot who is his slave kind of thing. And at the end of the day, he proposes his own wife for his own fiance. And he gets into trouble that, oh my God, what happened? Okay. Yeah. I was not supposed to add emotions to him. So, yes, they kind of are good when they serve you, I suggest you don't get that.
So there's pros and cons. Okay, there definitely are pros and cons. The thing is, most of the times where we have discussed such topics, it's been through science fiction. You know, like the movie that Sister said, like the other movies. We've all explored these themes and asked these questions through science fiction. It's fiction. It's not real.
Apart from why only movies? Apart from fiction, we saw this in real life as well. Like when I go through the news that you see this video was leaked, about this personality, this video was leaked about that personality. We as humans, everyone has a great aim. Everyone wants to go reach some goal. And when you know everything is getting recorded, everything, you are being monitored each and every second. You have no secrecy at all right now, and that's not fair at all. So that way, you are not sure tomorrow what maybe Allah will hide, because he is, we say that he hides things. He knows all secrets, though, but he does not, We say in Dua Khumel as well, all my bad things, you just, keep them hidden. But this artificial intelligence reveals everything. We see everything getting revealed in the news this day, that day. And we see these personalities who reached, who became star, who took so many years to achieve something. They come down just in a few minutes.
Sister Zainab, Sayyid Jafar, thank you very much for being on the show. That's all we have time for, unfortunately. Dear listeners, we hope that you enjoyed and benefited from the show. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Rabb. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabb, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Nawwir Qalbana.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Today on The Key, we want to examine a question that might pop up in the minds of some people. And that question is regarding the reprehensibility of certain professions. There's a tradition narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding the reprehensibility of five professions. A certain man comes to the Holy Prophet and asks him regarding the profession he should encourage his son to pursue. The Prophet then mentions five professions which he discourages the person from allowing his son to pursue. One of them is the profession of a butcher, the other